Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Transport Topics in Washington, D.C., this is Road Signs. Here is your host, Seth Clevenger.
Thank you for listening to Road Signs, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. In this episode, we're going to take you back to the 2023 Advanced Clean Transportation Expo held earlier this month in Anaheim, California. At that show, truck manufacturers and suppliers rolled out their latest zero-emission commercial vehicle technologies, including an expanding array of battery electric truck models and continued investment in hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. Along the way, industry speakers and attendees discussed the opportunities and the obstacles for this emerging segment of the commercial vehicle market. Although we are still in the very early stages of commercial adoption, electric trucks are poised for growth in the years ahead, due in large part to emissions regulations, especially in California. But what will it take to make zero-emission trucks a viable option for more fleets in the future? And what technologies will pave the way for this transition? While attending ACT Expo, I had the opportunity to raise those questions with Peter Voorhoeve, president of Volvo Trucks North America. But before I get into that interview, I'd like to invite you to keep up to date on this topic and other important industry issues by subscribing to Transport Topics at ttn.ws/ttsubscribe. You can also text ttsubscribe to 571-622-0001. And now, without any further delay, let's play my interview with VTNA President Peter Voorhoeve. We're here in Anaheim at ACT Expo 2023, and I'm very excited to speak with Peter Voorhoeve, President of Volvo Trucks North America. Thank you for taking some time out of a very busy show for all of us, especially for you, I'm sure, and take some time to talk to us at Transport Topics.
Absolutely, Seth, and happy to be here with you.
So ACT Expo, of course, is all about the movement toward low emissions and zero emission vehicles. You're really looking at the future of the transportation industry. And during your press conference today, you outlined Volvo's really three-pronged approach to what that future will look like. You're investing, of course, in battery electric vehicles. You had an example of that at the on the show floor here. Also, fuel cell technology and of course, the combustion engine as well.
Yeah.
So maybe just take us through those three prongs and those three pillars of the future of commercial vehicle technology as you see it.
So ultimately, what we want to do is we want to reduce our carbon footprint, right? We want to reduce our CO2 emissions in 2030 by 50% and then, basically go to completely fossil-free by 2040. That will not work with one technology only. That we were used to, right? I mean, everything was diesel engine, and what we will have in the future is indeed that three-prong approach. So we came out with battery electric vehicles, first with the 150-mile truck, now with the 275-mile range truck, and that range might even increase a little bit in the future when we're going to use e-axles. But the battery electric vehicle is there to stay for these very specific applications in last mile, regional haul, daily deliveries, pickups, etc. The fuel cell technology will be for longer haul, but you will not see, I don't expect, quite frankly, to see a shift where people go from, now we go from battery electric, we go to fuel cell electric. I think it's a very separate applications, one much more for long haul, the other one much more for sure. Regional haul and last mile delivery. The internal combustion engine will not go away. There will always be applications where you need to have an internal combustion engine. And we should not forget, by the way, that we are not only looking at fossil-free fuels. We are also continuously developing the current diesel engine. Because if we reduce our footprint with 50% in 2030, that means that still 50% of our trucks have a diesel engine. And with the legislations that we have, we will continue to develop our diesel engines and improve fuel efficiency and emissions. But then at the same time, we're also looking at, what can we do with fossil-free based or non-fossil based fuels, like renewable diesel, like HVO, but also hydrogen. in hydrogen combustion, yeah, which I think is a very interesting, which is a very, very interesting technology as well. So these technologies will live next to each other, and together, those technologies will drive us to a zero emission vehicle setup.
I'm glad you brought up the future of diesel. Of course, yeah. That's a question now, especially with California in particular taking a pretty aggressive approach toward zero emission vehicles with some timelines and yeah. Also with the NOx rules that are coming, in the next few years. And also along those lines, the State of Sustainable Fleets market brief that GNA puts together, of course, the event organizer, pointed to that as, maybe the sign that we could now be looking at the very beginning of the sunset of the diesel engine. But I want to get your thoughts on that. Might 2027 be the last big push to really improve and refine the diesel engine? Or do you see, further investments to continue to make diesel more and more efficient?
I think it's a bit premature to start talking about the sunset of the diesel engine. I mean, especially since the diesel engine first of all, the internal combustion engine will play a big role in the next foreseeable future, and then we move from fossil based to fossil free fuels. But 2027 is a big change. But then we have GHG3. Right, which comes after that. So I don't see us stopping developing the diesel engine. We will continue with that. The only thing what you can see is that there will be multiple R&D trajectories. Right, we will continue to invest in battery electric. We will continue to invest in fuel cell. We will continue to invest in diesel engines, and we will continue to invest in internal combustion engines based with fossil free fuels. So. The R&D agenda will be a heavy one going forward.
Right. So diesel's not going away. Of course, that's a big part of the pathway toward getting us to this eventual future. I guess the follow-up is, looking at other forms of fuels, whether it's renewable diesel, whether it's hydrogen combustion, renewable natural gas. That I assume is what you see as the future of the
combustion
engine.
Absolutely. So I think it's a good point that we should not talk about the diesel engine. We should talk about the internal combustion engine, and that development will not stop.
Of course, here at ACT Expo, Volvo is exhibiting a VNR electric model. It's been on the market for a while now, and you have a growing list of customers who are putting these vehicles out in the field and using them day to day. And one thing that strikes me, of course, is that you have a pretty diverse set of customers who have rolled this out. It's not just, the ports in Southern California. It's all over, geographies across the U.S. and Canada. So maybe just speak to the range of different types of fleet customers in terms of the size, in terms of the application that are among the early adopters of your EVs.
So all these customers in all their variety, by the way, because you indicated, right, there's smaller customers, larger customers on the East Coast, on the West Coast, in Texas and in Canada, all these customers have one thing in common, and that is they have adopted relatively early a sustainability strategy. Because for one reason or the other, they kind of, are in the same boat with us, where we say, well, listen, we need to do something around the climate, that it has to happen, and it has to happen right now. That is a driver why companies start thinking about, okay, well, we need to do something. And the examples are many. You have shippers, right, or manufacturers, people, companies that make drinks or food or whatever, but I mean that make a product that goes to the market. They find it important to communicate with their customers and to show their customers we are actually doing something around the environment, and customers like that, right, and then buy those products. So you see it from dairy producers to a producer that makes tin sorted aluminum cans. You see it in beverage distributors, and you see it in transport companies that go to supermarkets or food distribution, food and beverage distribution. That's where you see it happen. And then you also see larger customers, right? We showed the performance team truck from Maersk.
Very global, right?
Right, who's been very formulated in all this. QCD then is a prime example for food distribution. But it's again, I think what worked is that we're very formulated on our sustainability strategy. There's many parties in society, manufacturers, shippers, haulers, that share that same sustainability strategy, and then they come to us and say, listen, you know, you seem to be able to help us with the execution of our sustainability strategy. And yeah, before you know it, you have a picture with, you know, all kinds of different customers. And that is for me very energizing to see, because it means that it is alive. Right. And then of course you have pioneers and early adopters and fast followers, etc. That's fine, but it's well anchored now. It's well anchored.
Yeah, and of course one of the maybe the barriers or the biggest challenges for these early adopters has been the infrastructure as they go to set up, you know, charging at their depot and terminals. Yeah. Sometimes it's a, you know, multiple year lead time, you know, working with their utility companies, the power companies to get the electrical service that they need to support the fleet.
Yeah.
So oftentimes that is the holdup. What are you hearing from, you know, your customers who are moving, you know, into electrification? How often do they encounter, you know, those types of challenges? And what do you think the industry can do working with the utilities to help address that?
So unfortunately, it's often. We see customers or we see HVIP vouchers, for instance, not being picked up. Because the truck is there and but the charging infrastructure is not there, so they cannot get going. So unfortunately, we see that a lot. It's definitely something that we need to focus on, not only as a truck industry, by the way, but I mean this whole group of stakeholders needs to work together to get the charging infrastructure under control. And when we mean charging infrastructure, it's basically three different things. You have 99% is home, what we call home-based charging, right? In the depot where you reside, that's where the truck gets charged overnight, so to speak. Or destination charging, right? When you are there and then at the destination you charge. And then you have public charging. Now, to start with the latter, with public charging, we have acknowledged that issue of charging. So we have an intended partnership with Pilot Flying J, where, you know, Pilot Flying J being a very well-known distributor of energy for trucks, they know how to distribute. We know where the trucks are. Together, we want to work on this public charging infrastructure. But the problem lies much more in powering those, and whether that is home-based or destination-based or public charging. The issue is in getting the power into the facility.
Yeah, so it's something that really the industry needs to partner, I think, with the utilities.
So we've stepped up. We have acknowledged the problem. We have taken an initiative to work on that, but we're not going to do it alone. And I think that is one of the things that you will hear more and more in this conference as well, is that, you know, we need to do this together. We have a bold target to reduce our carbon footprint, our CO2 emissions, with 50% in 2030 globally for Volvo trucks. For North America, that will only work, or for the US, it will only work if we all work together. Shippers, haulers, regulators, grid operators, utility companies, you name it.
Hello, Roadside listeners. Dan Ronan here from Transport Topics. I'm here to tell you about our new extended cuts of the Road Signs podcast. If you like what you learn here, I think you're going to really love this. So what is the Road Signs extended cut? Well, instead of ending the recording and saying our guest farewells, we're keeping our expert guests around for an extra one or two questions to gather a deeper, fuller picture of the influential topics in transportation. We capture that insight and convert it into a printable download that will help you navigate the latest trucking trends and guide your next business decision. Considering the easy, linkable, and printable format, you can keep the extended cut for your next big meeting, send it to your friends and colleagues, or pack it up for your next big conference. So how do you get the latest download? Well, it's real simple. Visit ttn.ws/extended cut. That's ttn.ws/extended cut.
And of course, battery electric technology is relatively new within the commercial vehicle space still. This is a young segment of the commercial vehicle market still. And I think that with that comes an opportunity for some, you know, pretty rapid improvement, right? I mean, there's so much to learn in a pretty short amount of time. So maybe just speak to how much your electric trucks have improved from your first prototypes to the current version that you're now, you know, have on the market and are selling to your customers today? Just how much has the system, how has the vehicle improved just from where you started?
Well, the biggest improvement that we see is in range, obviously, right? So the battery efficiency of the batteries have significantly increased. The charging times have decreased. So the uptime has increased as well. I think that's one of the biggest changes. Other than the truck, we already had the truck, and that is a very, very good truck. So there we have not maybe improved that much because it is not necessary. It's the majority of the development is actually in the battery technology and the battery performance. That's where we steps going forward.
Okay, and I wanted to circle back a little bit more to fuel cell technology. Of course, yeah. This is part of the conversation at the press conference as well. And in fact, you have early example on the show floor of fuel cell technology that you're investing in. But maybe speak a little bit more to the types of applications where you can really see, fuel cell with a, extended range really making sense in the trucking industry, when you bring that to market.
It's the longer haul, right? We do drayage with battery electric vehicles, right? Port of Long Ridge, Port of LA, Port of New Jersey, etc. But if you want to go deeper into the country, then you go. So it's really, your typical sleeper business, you would do that with the fuel cell truck.
And maybe speak a little bit more to, the support network, with your dealers.
Yeah.
You mentioned this as well. You're working with your independent dealer network all over the country to, so they can get certified, they can sell and service these vehicles.
Yeah.
And of course, that's a learning process for their technicians, for sales as well.
Yeah.
They need to know how to sell and support these vehicles and help the fleet customers understand them as well, because it's a learning process for everyone. But just speak to how you've been working to ramp up that support network through your dealers so they're ready to support your customers wherever they are.
So we started relatively early determining the program or answering the question, what do we need to do with our dealers and what do our dealers need to do in order to support this product? Because be it diesel, be it electric, be it whatever, we've always, as Volvo Trucks, always been very focused on, okay, we need to have a good dealer network in order to guarantee the uptime, to use that phrase, to guarantee the uptime of the asset. Because ultimately a truck, regardless of how it is powered, is an asset for a transport company or a manufacturing in order to create value. So that's one. So when we started developing the truck, at the same time we started developing, okay, what should a dealer program look like? And in relatively early stages, and then we said, okay, well, there's actually a lot that you need to do in a dealer in order to be able to sell, understand, maintain, etc. So then we said, well, we actually need a certification process for that. We need to teach them and we need to test them as well, so that it really works. And then we need to have criteria on special tooling, on charging, etc. So I think the dealer certification process was more or less ready at the same time when the truck actually came out for the first time. Then together with Tech Equipment here in California and the Lights Project, it was an ideal stumping ground to test it out. And then when we said, okay, well, then if as a dealer you want to sell and maintain a service trucks, then you need to be certified. We didn't have to push that hard. And that was very interesting. We didn't have to push that hard because we came out relatively early with an electric truck. There was some good press around that, and people saw it happening. People saw that it worked, and people saw that it was real. And so our dealers are actually pulling rather than we are pushing.
Okay.
And that's why you all of a sudden see great numbers now with EVs. And that's a very important, for me at least, that is a very important development, because if we can show that the dealer network is there to help, then people get ease of mind, because it's new technology, as you said. And, the driver's going, well, and I don't want this to happen. And don't worry, nothing will happen. And if something happens, we're there to take care of you.
Another question I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure how much time you've had to really explore the exhibit hall here. I know you're very busy with everything that's on your plate, but from what you've seen of the show floor and also from the conversations you've had, not just with your customers, but from others in the industry, what stands out to you the most thus far, this year at a show like this? What really seems unique and different, say compared to last year?
So what stands out the most is of course the scale, right? I mean, there is significantly more people here than there were last year, and last year was significantly more people than the year before. So that means that it is alive, and the people have a lot of questions as well. And we're moving from concept to reality, from concept to practicality. And that means that much more people are now affected, and much more people want to be here and learn. So that's one thing that stands out. The other thing that stands out for me is that I think that the technology is now established. I mean, everybody has, you know, kind of an offering in to a certain extent. But what I also see on the floor is the enormous increase of services providers, which, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, we saw that the exhibition hall was not so big, and it was even not all the OEMs were here. Now, and of course, all the OEMs are here. But you see an enormous amount of companies that provide all kinds of services that are, you know, circling around this whole zero emission vehicle setup. And that is very interesting to see.
And also, of course, in the, you know, news, these industry news, you know, leading into the show, of course, you know, California finalized its advanced clean fleets rule, and of course has been in the works for some time. And, you know, so now we see California, as well as other states that are interested in adopting similar rules that, you know, mandate, you know, increasing percentages or, you know, adoption of zero emission vehicles in the years ahead, you know, depending on, you know, I guess the time frame, of course, depends on the type of vehicle and some factors like that. But do you see some challenges in managing the complexity of, you know, different rules in different states, of course, for many of your customers who operate, of course, coast to coast?
No. Because the question of your operators that go from coast to coast, the transport happens in battery electric vehicles, and the current legislation plays per state, and intrastate or interstate transport with zero emission vehicles, I mean, that's a couple of years out. I mean, then we're talking fuel cell electric, so that's going to take a little bit. So I think what you will see with larger operators is that they have to have a separate approach for California and a separate approach for other states. So that is the impact. I mean, you cannot just, it's not one big bucket anymore, right? There's different buckets with different rules, and they just need to adapt that into their purchasing strategy. The other thing on ACT and ACF is that those are helpful regulations. It is very important that they're aligned and balanced. The timeline in ACF should match the timeline in ACT, which it doesn't. There was recently an adaptation of a law in the state of Maryland, which we commended very much, because Maryland said, okay, these are the targets, but they are dependent upon the availability of charging infrastructure. And I think that is very important. And that's the thing. So ACF has something like that in it, right? Where there is some clause around the availability of charging infrastructure, but ACT does not have that. And if we have regulations that have the same objective, then they need to be aligned.
I see we're up on time here, but any other final thoughts you have on, you know, a show like this and you know, this move toward, you know, really, you know, new propulsion systems and you know, new emerging segments of the commercial vehicle market? It does feel like we're, you know, very much at a, you know, inflection point in the history of the industry. So maybe I'll just ask you to take the, you know, the long view. Does it feel like, you know, we're at this you know, almost you know, the dawn of a new era for commercial trucking?
Well, first of all, I mean, this is an extremely energizing week. It is fantastic to see how quickly it goes. It's fantastic to see how much effort and how much money, by the way, everybody pours into this in order to get to a zero emission vehicle system or a decarbonized transport system. The entire industry will encounter all kinds of different problems in order to adapt this new technology and to make it, you know, to fine tune it and make sure that it works. I think what is important is that we do this together. The OEMs cannot do this alone. The shippers cannot do this alone. The transporters cannot do this alone. The regulators can also not do this alone. It's not because you have a law that something happens. The reason that this is happening is that there's an increasingly amount of stakeholders in the industry that finds this important, that find it important to work on sustainability, to find it important to leave this earth in a better shape than they call it. And that's all very energizing.
you know, energizing, I think is a great way to put it. And, you know, this is a great conversation, Peter. I always appreciate the chance to speak with you. And, you know, I think that's a good stopping point. So I'll leave it there. And, you know, thanks for joining the podcast and, you know, sharing both your time and your insights with us.
Chef, thank you very much.
Did you know you can ask Alexa to open Transport Topics? In just 1 minute, you will hear the biggest trucking headlines of that day. Be prepared and start your morning off right with Transport Topics.
Before we close, let's take a moment to revisit our original questions. What will it take to make zero-emission trucks a viable option for more fleets in the future? And what technologies will pave the way for this transition? As we've heard during this episode, trucking appears to be at the beginning stages of a shift from an industry powered almost entirely by diesel to one driven by multiple propulsion technologies in the coming years and decades. Battery electric trucks are on the market now, and they are poised for growth in trucking applications that are well suited to that technology. But early adopters will need to overcome a series of challenges, including higher vehicle costs and multi-year lead times in many cases for depot charging projects. Meanwhile, hydrogen fuel cell technology is gathering significant momentum as a technology pathway to enable zero-emission trucking on longer routes. And yes, the tried and true internal combustion engine will continue to play an important part in the industry's future as well. In the decades ahead, these engines could utilize hydrogen combustion or run on other renewable fuels, such as renewable natural gas or renewable diesel. If you've enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If my questions have sparked questions of your own, share them with me and the Road Signs team. You can email us at share@ttnews.com. Also, let us know how we did by texting TTSurvey to 571-622-0001. And of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh episode of Road Signs. Until then, I'm Seth Clevenger. Thank you for listening.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.